Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another fun show. Today, we're taking you back to school in the summer. That's right. It is summer school. Listener Lauren sent us a quiz, and we're going to take that today with a bunch of questions about Walt Disney World attractions, shows, rides. Which ride do we hate? Which ride is overrated? How about underappreciated? What ride or attraction or show made us fall in love with Walt Disney World? We have 12 questions. We can't repeat the answers. So see what we have to say and play right along with us and tell us what you think, how you do on this fun Disney quiz to kick off the weekend. Don't forget you can support the show three ways. Book your next trip with the Magic for Less Travel. We're booking those 2021 packages like hotcakes right now. So drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great trip planning tools. They have great resort guides. You want to look at pictures of the resorts? Do it right there. You can see the square footage of the rooms. You can see all the amenities at the resort. And then while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form. And if you mention the show on the quote form, you and I are going to be working together to plan that next Disney vacation together. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online. Thanks to everybody who has been doing that. It helps so very much. Just bookmark it on your browser there. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You're getting all those Prime benefits. Cost you nothing extra. Finally, if you want a little behind the scenes of the show, pictures, polls, discussions, and even a mini podcast called Mike in the Midwest, become a patron over at patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1717 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. Hope you are doing well. And of course, last week here in the United States, it was a holiday weekend and everybody looks like made it through unscathed. I, you know, still got all my digits and eyeballs, so that's good. This weekend, a little bit more laid back here around the States, but I hope you're having fun and getting ready to just enjoy some time with friends and family. Maybe you're taking the show with you on a run today, or maybe you're having to cut the grass. That's no fun. Or, you know, just working around the house, whatever you're doing. Thanks for taking the show. We sure appreciate it every time you download or stream. We love our Be Our Guest podcast family. It's so fun that you guys come and hang out with us when we record live on Facebook. And when you interact later on, when you download the show, just want to wish you well and thank you, as always, for being a part of this ride for over 12 years now. We love it. All right, joining me today from notadisneyworldafterall.com. I had almost gotten that out of my system. I had almost gotten that out of my system, and so disregard. But how about touringplans.com and themouseforless.com? We have Ricky. Happy Friday.
Well, speaking of themouseforless.com, we have a fantastic new logo. It looks so good and clean, and I love it. So if you haven't checked it out, go check out our brand new logo because it's just spectacular.
I did a good job on that. I mean, I worked overnight on that logo, yeah. And I thought I cleaned it up pretty well, right?
Yeah, that was all you, Mike Rallman. Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, no. It was, but yeah, it looks really, really good. I like the colors, and it's very clean and very like simple, which is what I like about it. So no more computer monitor for us anymore because nobody uses computer monitors. So.
But it was so retro, and it had like the old logo. If you didn't see it on the Mouse for Less, which I've seen it for years, just never really thought about it. But it's a monitor that's got the Mickey ears, and they not put out like there was a TV set like that, right? That Disney sold, I think.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, Scott, was there?
I don't remember.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, there was. I bet you there was some Mickey looking TV. Back in the day. I'll have to Google it. I'll have to find it. Yeah. So it was retro. It was retro. It was very cool.
I blame you.
All right. Also joining us, you heard him. Pam is not here. She's still chasing around air conditioning in Pennsylvania looking for it. But happy birthday, Pam, by the way.
Happy birthday, Pam!
And shout out to
happy belated birthday, Pamela.
Absolutely. And Mike Bankhead. Happy birthday to the captain.
Bankhead. Salute. Way to go, Captain.
That's right.
Birthdays all around.
That's right. We're giving virtual cakes left and right. Scotty G, you can catch him on Twitter at @EpScott. What's up, Scott? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I'm actually off work today. Not working today.
Nice.
So, and I decided to be with all you because, you know, Pam's air conditioning went out. But speaking of air conditioning going out in the summer and being hot, Mike, we were talking about this earlier, and Ricky too. Like, we spend 4th of July a lot, like, doing cruises, being down at Walt Disney World when it's, like, super hot this time of year. And it's weird being home this time of year. And I always said, like, man, one of these summers I'm just going to stay home because it's going to be so much cooler. That is a lie, because it is still hotter than heck here in Michigan.
That's what I say. Everybody's like, how do you go to Walt Disney World in July? I'm like, it is smoking hot at home. Like, I mean, I'd rather be in a pool or in a ride in air conditioning. Like, okay, I get it. You know, it's the heat index right now in St. Louis as we're recording is about 100 degrees, which is about what it would be in Florida right now. But I'm also not going to go outside and stand for 8 hours outside. And I wouldn't do that at Disney either. So I may as well be having fun.
As you know, we just hang out in the pools all day exactly. And then we go in the parks at night when it's cooler to like 90 degrees. But
yeah, we figured that out.
But now it's just funny. Like I always say, like, I'm never going back again in the summer. It's so hot. But like, it's hot here at home too. So
that's right. And Becca says that she loves how Pam says really and truly. So Scott, you got to add a couple of those into your responses today.
Absolutely.
For Pam. Okay. So
really and truly.
Yeah, really and truly. You got to. You know, and what I've been doing though, Scott, to kind of, I'm homesick for Disney and my friends is that I've had to use my tumblers that you guys made for the podcast cruise, because no kidding, those tumblers come up in my Google Photos memories more than any pictures of us. Like, I see them all the time.
I took a great photo shoot of those at Castaway Key. Like, I just sat them on everything, and like, we'd get the ship in the background, we'd get the sign in the background, and it was like a fun photo shoot. I'll share some with you.
Yeah, I'll have to post that on Instagram because they're pretty sweet. And that's how I'm getting
you
over.
You gotta hydrate,
missing everybody. That's right, you gotta hydrate, man. It's hot. All right, so listener Lauren sent me an email earlier this week. And here's what it said. She says, good afternoon, Mike. Hope y'all are staying safe. I had an idea for a show I thought I'd pass along to you. The backstory is the radio show I listen to does a segment every Tuesday called The Biggest Show Coming to Town, where they would discuss the music and comedy shows coming to Dallas. However, due to the fact that there are currently no shows coming to Dallas or anywhere else, really, they started doing a music quiz on Tuesdays instead. I took the quiz that they did and retrofitted it to a Disney World quiz, and I'm really interested to see what y'all's answers would be. Here are the rules. So there are rules.
Okay.
You can only use one ride attraction show one time. So once you've used it, it's out.
Okay.
The ride attraction show does not still have to be in operation, a la Wishes or Illuminations. And the ride attraction show must be or have been at Walt Disney World. So it has to be one of those.
No Disneyland.
That's right. Okay, so play along with us. We have, it looks like, 11 questions.
Okay.
And, of course, Lauren's down in Dallas, Texas. So I love when listeners give us show topics because that's less I have to think about. And plus, they're always better than what comes out of this brain.
Correct. So. Yes.
All right, so here we go. Quiz, 11 questions.
We're gonna say something up front?
Yeah,
really quick.
Yeah,
totally. Pam Forster is not really competitive. She doesn't really care about winning or losing, but she always wins. So I'm just going to say, I'm going to win, even though there's no way to win this. I'm going to win.
I'm like, dude, I'm super competitive, but I don't even see a way to win this.
I'm just saying, you're going down. I don't know. I'm always the competitive one.
So. The listener vote on who won.
Yes. Yeah, we'll take that to social media.
There you go.
All right, so here we go.
Hashtag Ricky, hashtag Mike, hashtag Pam Scott.
So we're starting off with, and I'm just going to go in the order that she gave them to us. I wouldn't have put this one as number one because it's just it's kind of harsh right off the bat. But number one is, what is the ride or attraction or show you hate? All right, so we'll go ladies first. We'll switch who goes first. We'll go in a circle. So you have to say this, like, and hate's a strong word.
I can grab it, Ricky, if you want. All right.
Scott's like, I have a list of seven.
I know absolutely what I hate.
All right, go ahead.
It's that new Beauty and the Beast sing-along, man. That is the worst thing ever.
Yes!
They took away my impressions of France during the day and put that garbage in.
That's true. That's a good point.
I know it has, like, the theme song for this podcast and all, which is great. Like, I love the songs in the show. And I'm not really knocking the show. Like, I understand its purpose. But as someone that loves Impressions de France, like, I do not like that show.
All right. That's good. Okay. I have an answer. And, you know, it took me a second to think about it. But it's also an Epcot. And you know what I'm going to go with Mission Space. Exactly. I really hate that ride. I don't ride it very often. I can't ride the orange version because I will throw up like that. I've done it once And I did not enjoy the feeling, even though I know like how it works. And I've been on rides that are like it before, like at Six Flags, they have something very similar. But there's something about not being able to see the outside that just throws me. And I think that that's why I get sick on that type of ride there than I do when I'm actually riding it somewhere else. So I think that the scenes are boring as all get out. Like, I really don't enjoy the storyline of that. Either storyline, I think that they're both kind of just meh. So, I mean, I'm glad that they gave people an option for the green version. But again, I still think the storyline for that one is just okay.
I like the green version. I think it's like Soarin' in Space.
I mean, it's not even, I don't know.
We did that after running the marathon.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
I felt so bad for whoever was riding that. Yes.
Like, I, the reason that I went with that though is because that is probably the attraction that I do the least at Walt Disney World, to be perfectly honest. Like, I'll do most every attraction over and over again, but I'm sitting there going, I don't really want to go to Mission Space. I don't want to go all the way over there to ride Mission Space, so I'm just not going to. That's the one I won't ride.
All right, Mike, what do you got, man? I saw you struggling in there.
I am struggling, but I came up with kind of a cheater's one. Okay, here's mine. Star Tours at the studios.
Oh,
and here's why I hate this ride is because, God, I want to ride this, and I want to be able to ride this ride so bad because I love Star Wars. I've like watched the Star Wars movies on Disney Plus probably like 3 or 4 times, like in the last couple weeks, just different, you know, movies. I love Star Wars, and I want to be able to do Star Tours, but as soon as that door closes, and I hear the sound in my head right now, the ka-chink, where the metal kind of.
Oh yeah, I got it. I know the sound too.
Like, I have like a panic attack because I know like I'm going to be motion sick, and I'm just holding onto the chair and I'm not even enjoying it. But I try it like every 3 or 4 years, thinking like, oh, as I get older, I'm really going to get over motion sickness. Nope, it just gets worse. I want to love it, but it's just
it really and truly is a fun ride.
It is. Well, I know everybody comes off of who's the rebel spy. I was a rebel spy. Well, good for you. You're having a good time. I can't ride it. Hate that.
Don't worry. Most of the people that I go with can't ride it either. Between you and Pam and Brian,
that's another one. Yeah.
Yeah. So me and you, Scott, we'll just go ride it over and over again.
That's why I hate this ride. Anyway.
And I don't even like Star Wars. So but I still will ride that.
This show's going to be 7 hours long if we keep going this space.
And I will still ride that ride, and yet I won't ride Mission Space.
I was thinking about that when Rick was answering. Yeah, like, I need to get the wrap it up box.
Taco Bell's going to close before I get my dinner.
All right.
Number two.
It's all good.
What is the ride attraction show you think is overrated?
Oh, easy.
Just like Kansas basketball. All right, hang on. You got to go first, Ricky, this time.
Oh, easy. 100%. Flight of Passage to me is so overrated. And I know so many people are like, okay, Ricky's lost her mind.
You know what? I'm with you.
Because not only did I name Mission Space as the one that I hated, but I knew that this was a question on there. And so that's why I didn't answer with it. I, honest to goodness, this attraction is so, so overrated. I don't get the emotional feelings that everyone else seems to get for this attraction. Like, I don't know if I'm just dead inside or what, but like, this attraction does not bring a wave of emotion and crying over me. Like, I think it's pretty, but it's not like crying pretty to me. I don't know. Like, I think it's a great attraction for what it is. I hate the pre-show. Cannot stand the pre-show. And I like almost every pre-show at Disney. So this has one of the worst pre-shows ever. If I have to hear fly one more time or stand in that room where they have to try to clean the microbe things off me or whatever. No, it's the worst. It's the worst pre-show. So I'm out on Flight of Passage. I'll ride it, but I don't think it's worth the 4-hour lines that it gets. No way.
So. All right, Scott.
Well, that was mine, but I... just not to repeat it, like, because I may use it down the road. Who knows?
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm going to go with... I've only done it at Disneyland, so I know it's supposed to be Walt Disney World, but it's also at Walt Disney World, so I'm still going to use it. And that's Smuggler's Run, I think, is kind of overrated.
I don't know
if I just had like so much hype for it, you know, the first time I rode it. I was like so excited, but we just did it the one time. Like, I'm definitely going to do it again. It's not like as crazy long lines as Flight of Passage is, and the fast. Well, I don't know what fast pass is going to do to it forward. But anyway, like, I don't know. I thought it was kind of overrated. I loved being in the Falcon. Like, that was pretty cool. But like the ride itself just like did not do anything.
I think that's it for me too. Smuggler's Run. It's like waiting and getting all your pictures inside like the chessboard and just being in the Falcon. That's the best part. I don't know if the rides is.
Yeah, and then like, is there a chicken exit for that? And then I'll just go. Like, exactly. Like, throw me in hyperspace. I'm out of here.
I get that. Let's see. So mine. Oh god, dang.
Well, you can say one of the ones we've said.
No,
you feel the same about Flight of Passage.
No, I totally feel the same about Flight of Passage. That would be mine. But if I had to take another one, I just had it and I lost it.
Oh.
What was I thinking?
Sorry.
All right, I'll think about it. Kansas basketball. No, just kidding.
No.
Marlissa has a great comment, though. Flight of Passage pre-show is awful.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
so
that's great.
That's awesome. Yes.
Ooh, Tim says Peter Pan. That's fighting words. God, what was I had one. I'm thinking, what park was I thinking? Oh, I can't think of it. Okay, I'll get back.
So when the show is 7 hours, we can blame Mike.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's why we're moving on. Number three, what ride, attraction, or show do you think is underappreciated? And this one, I'm totally stealing Scott's because we feel the exact same way.
I think I know
way.
Which one you're going to say.
It is Impressions de France.
Oh, okay. Then never mind.
Because it is, it's a time capsule. It's got the best music. I mean, like if you had, there's a few pieces of music that I love at Disney, and this is in the top three. And it's just, I love watching the people ride the bicycles without helmets, you know, and the cutoff jorts.
The wedding is so beautiful.
Going and looking at the pastries. I mean, like walking that cart through the town. It is just, it's
the
perfect.
Old couple walking the dog.
I'm about to cry. Stop.
Yes.
Oh,
this
man.
Is the greatest thing
it
ever.
It is. I love this. And I'm glad not everybody discovers it because, like, you never have to wait in line. You can get in anytime you want. It's cool. You get to sit down. You don't have to stand. You know, like you got to stand for everything else in Epcot. Perfect. Impressions of France. And I hate that I took Scott's, but it was my turn to go first. So I love that. I love that attraction. All right, Scott, what do you think?
Anytime you're bringing Impressions of France off, that's okay. That's
good. Okay, so what do you say is underappreciated?
This is underappreciated. Oh, my gosh. I just had one, and I lost it. Ricky, do you have one?
I do. And I think that this is one that, like, us Disney fans, I mean, we don't think it's underappreciated. We absolutely get it. I think for the general public, it's underappreciated. And that is Living with the Land. I mean, how can you not love this attraction? Okay, I know it can be boring.
I overappreciate that ride because I love that ride.
Yes,
I do love it.
But, like, I think by the general public, it is absolutely 100% underappreciated. There's so much that I learned when I go on this ride, even though, like, I've seen it a million times at this point. I love the people that are at the end. I love, like, it's just, I love the room with the catfish. I love that it's, oh my gosh, I love the first half with the rainforest and the farmland and, like, all of that. The fact that it's two kind of unique rides and one that's meshed together is so fantastic. So I'm going with Living with the Land. And I mean, I know a lot of people don't love Living with the Land, but I think it's totally underrated, not by Disney fans necessarily, but by the general public.
No, it totally is.
So you two have said two of my favorites. I mean, we all know Impressions of France doesn't get any better than that. So that was a great answer. Living with the Land is a great answer. I think a lot of things at Animal Kingdom just get, you know,
agreed.
Underlooked. And I'm kind of cheating here, but I'm going with the animal trails.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
When we went in that bird cage, I'd never been in that bird cage.
Yep. We introduced Mike to the,
yes.
There you
to
go.
The trails on a trip once.
That's awesome.
You can pick either one you want, but I think everyone does the safari and they just like blow past the trail right there and just move on to the next thing. I think spending some time at the trails is very important. It's great for kids because kids love the animals. I love seeing the animals and they're educational. It's fun to do. It's something that you really don't, I mean, it's Animal Kingdom. So I guess you would think about it because it's animals, but I feel like a lot of people just blow right past them. And I love
mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
All right. Number agreed. Four, moving on. What is the ride attraction show you love? So love, keyword, love.
I mean,
is it, whose turn is it to go first? I went first last time. So, Ricky, you can go on this one.
All right, I thought it was Scott's, but it's fine.
Okay. I think it was mine. But
okay, go ahead, Scott. Go ahead, Scott.
It's just going to be the answer that you gave in the last one, Impressions de France.
I knew that.
Use Beauty and the Beast. I mean, it's the same theater, but they're different shows.
They are very,
so I think it's still fair to say.
It is.
And okay. I won't rehash everything that Mike said. Mike said everything about it. The sitting down, which is a huge plus on a summer day. Mm. And then the music is excellent. It's a great length. It's like 18 minutes long. I just love everything about that film. It's the best.
All right, Ricky.
I have to go with the classic. I mean, this is always the one that I say when it's my favorite, and it's The Haunted Mansion. I mean, how can you go wrong with that attraction? It was a Walt created attraction in that sense of like he started it. It has such a great, you know, great use of audio animatronics, great use of technology in the sense of like, it doesn't use modern technology, but technologies from the past, which is so fantastic. I think now we rely so much on, you know, ooh, it's hot and new, so, you know, we'll use this. And sometimes it's nice to just go back and use some technologies that were, you know, older. I think that I love the use of the audio animatronics. Of course, the song is just, I mean, how can you not have that song stuck in your head? It's just, it's fantastic. So, Haunted Mansion, hands down, it does everything for me. It's funny. It's scary. It's everything.
So I'm glad we have these questions like in front of us so I can see, because like I have, you know, like love, and then we have one kind of down the road that's.
I don't have any questions in front of me. So
I sent them to you. I emailed them. Okay. Okay. I'm just saying. Okay. So the attraction that I love, Illuminations. It was, I've said this in the past, and we haven't talked about it lately, obviously, because it's been gone for a while now, but Illuminations was the perfect show for the setting of World Showcase, and mm-hmm. It was the perfect ending for a day of exploration in Future World. And Future World usually was where I had my mornings and my afternoons, and we'd take a break, and we'd come back in the evening, come back into World Showcase, and explore the countries, have dinner in one of the countries, and you know, this is where, again, 2020 is going to be so strange, because the heartbeat, the pulse of World Showcase is the cast members from all over the world. And from somebody that's from Missouri who doesn't see a lot of folks that are from outside of Missouri, let alone, you know, outside the country, it was great to interact with people that grew up in France or people that were from Mexico or Norway or whatever, China, and to, you know, just stroll around, sample, you know, little foods throughout the early evening. And, you know, watch like the acrobats in China do their thing for a little bit. The guy with the whistle in Italy with his gondola, you know, gondola and all that. And the guys jumping on the chairs that freaked me out in France, you know, back in the day off kilter over in Canada, just taking it all in. But then the whole night ended with this celebration of how we can all come together as one people from all different parts of the world with these fireworks. So, yes, I loved Illuminations, and I played that music every day in my class when I taught sixth grade. We'd come in from recess, and then we had silent reading for 20 minutes, and I played that soundtrack every day. And it was the Tapestry Nations show too.
And you know, I mean, I watched for the 4th of July. Brian and I watched the 4th of July Illuminations from last year that I taped, and I mean, while we were watching it, I was like, oh. Dang, like I miss the show. I mean, I know it hasn't been gone that long, but like I know for some people it's really boring, but for me it's just, it is Epcot. So especially having seen Epcot Forever, and I mean it was fine. And who knows what's going to happen with Harmonious at this point. Maybe we're going to be stuck with Epcot forever. Who knows? It was like it was meant to be with the name. I don't know, but I hope that's not the case. But you know, Illuminations, I mean, there was something, it was magic. Illuminations was magic.
It was. For sure. Plus, the Millennium Celebration was like the perfect time for that show, too.
Best place to gather with people. You can gather easily and comfortably and watch that show versus like Happily Ever After, where you're just crowded.
Oh, yeah.
My best memories are just having a beer or a cocktail, just waiting out the pre-show, just having a conversation.
Yep.
In a comfortable environment. It doesn't get any better.
That's why I hate watching the fireworks on Main Street, because I hate being in that tin can sardine feeling just thing. It's awful. I can't stand it.
So, we're going to move on to the next question, but I will say, you know, the thing for me personally is like when I first started going to Disney, it was just myself, my wife, and Paige. And then it was Mallory. But then my dynamics and my vacations have changed so much, because now we never go alone. Like I'm always with Scotty mm-hmm. G's family and the Forresters and Ricky and, you know, Jocelyn, just it's expanded so much. Jay and Melissa come over who now live down there. You know, it's like, it truly is like people, this is our place where we do come together. We, none of us live in even the same state.
Yeah.
You know, and we have friends international, Masayo and, you know, Nikki over in the UK. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've literally got friends all around the world. And where do we get together to celebrate and have good times together? Malcolm over in the UK. You know, it's at Walt Disney World. It's usually at Epcot. Like, I remember that New Year's Eve, like, we were hanging out with Malcolm and his family, and we were just rocking out. I mean, it was like we're from all over the place.
Dude, it started with, like, eight of us, and then by the end of the night, there was, like, 55 of us. It was
awesome. We had, like, seven hats. We had, like, four noisemakers. Oh, my gosh. It was, okay, we got to get going. Five.
What
is the best ride, or what is the ride attraction show that you can ride on over and over and over again?
Oh.
Am I for who's
That's
first?
That's easy.
Who's first? Because everybody's going to say this one.
I think Scott.
I went first last time, but I'll take it.
Oh, okay.
But this is really and truly the best ride that you can do over and over and over again. And that is the people.
Yeah,
yes, exactly. Done. Next. We all have that answer.
That's
There's
what I would
no
say
way.
Too. Yeah.
There's
yeah,
no
I've
way.
Done it.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
I remember one. It was a marathon weekend. It was like the day of the 10K. It was rainy. And we went to Magic Kingdom. And then we rode the People Mover, and it was just starting to pour. And I'm like, can we do this again? Because I don't want to get out in that rain. We did it like three or four times in a row.
The unfortunate part, though, is that everyone else has learned how great the People Mover is. So now you can't do it over and over again. Like, when I first started going, I would easily be able to say, can I go around again?
And by the way, for those watching on video, this is the international one more lap signal.
Yep. One more round. Yep. So, like, I miss the fact that I can't do that anymore. I mean, I'm happy that other people have found the love of the People Mover, but I hate that I can't do it, you know, just whenever I want to keep going around and around and around. I got to get back in line. So,
all right. So, let's just go with we're all saying the People Mover. That is the perfect.
I think so.
Yeah.
Over and over. Okay. So, number six, what is the ride attraction show that made you fall in love with Walt Disney World?
Ooh.
I have mine. I have mine. You may go first.
Okay.
Mine is because, you know, this was kind of a hard because it's like, what do you love earlier? Number four, and this is what made you fall in love. And it was Spectrum Magic on a summer night at the Magic Kingdom. And this was back in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, when I was going just Pam Page and I. And they had extra magic hours till like 3 a.m. back then on certain nights. It was crazy because the park would normally close at 11. It went to 2, I think. Maybe it went to 3 one night. I know we were there past 2 one night with Paige, and she was only like 11, 10, maybe. And the thing was, and this is how I think every theme park should be, just because I was brought up this way, is that I know you're different, Ricky, but I always thought every night should end with fireworks and a parade because that was kind of like the perfect ending to a day at the Magic Kingdom. And, you know, Epcot had that. They had Tapestry of Nations and Illuminations, and that was the perfect ending to the day over there. But Spectrum Magic, there was something just, and again, it was when I was falling in love with Disney anyway. Like, it was, everything was new, everything was amazing, but this parade came out with these crazy looking scary-ish clowns playing trumpets at the beginning, and it, you know, it said Spectrum Magic, and it just kind of printed itself out in these beautiful colored lights, Mickey Mouse, you know, kind of at the beginning of the parade, all these characters you've seen throughout your life as part of culture, and everything lit up, and the music was just I love Spectrum Magic. I love the music of Spectro too. And it was just, you know, I sat on the curb and was just in awe with Paige, you know, and it was when our family was really coming together, you know, it was when our family was forming, and we were forming it at Walt Disney World over summer after summer after summer. It was like an old friend. So Spectro. All right. So, Scott, what do you got?
That's a tough one to beat, man. You got me all emotional.
Hits me in the feels, man. Hits me in the feels.
I have a feels too, though. Like, and you said it was like with your family, you like building the family. So mine is Wishes. Mm. Wishes made me fall in love with Disney. And I don't even know if we saw it on our first trip, to be honest. Like, our first trip, we were just like crazy, like overwhelmed. Like, I think we caught some of it at California Grill, because we did go to California Grill that first trip. And I go to California Grill every trip. I go to Walt Disney World. I go a lot. But our second trip, you know, we actually tried to plan it so that we could, because we realized, like, oh my God, you can actually walk out here and like watch that fireworks show that they do at that castle. That sounds kind of awesome. We need to book that next time. So anyway, so we did that. So we, you know, we had a California Grill. We watched Wishes, and I just the music in there, like the little like children's choir.
Yes,
like,
I know,
like
the Emily, kid. The kid. Oh man,
the kid kills me. And then like as we like learned more about that song, like in the lyrics, like Emily would then sing it. So I would like hold her back when she was little and we'd watch it from the rooftop of the California Grill, and then she would just start singing it.
Oh god.
People around would start looking at her like in awe. Oh, like, dude, so, I would tear up every time. And every time I hear that song, because like obviously I still have like the soundtrack, and I think of those moments at California Grill watching Wishes with Emily singing, and it just like makes my heart melt. And but that's what really got me right there. I was like, man, if this place is just giving me the feels from some fireworks and a dinner and like making my daughter, I'm like, I don't know. I just fell in love with Disney based on that.
And thank God we have the music, you know, and like Martin's vids, but more importantly for these things like Spectre Magic Illuminations, Wishes, you know, Fantasmic when its day comes, like we have the soundtracks. And what that does is you put the soundtrack on and you are there. And like, even though Paige is 23 now, you know, if I'm like you, if I'm listening to the Wishes soundtrack or if I'm listening to Spectre Magic, you know, she's 8 again. You know, and it's summer at Walt Disney World. So, all right, Ricky, what do you got? We nailed our
good luck.
Yeah, I can't compete. So mine is the original Figment attraction. You know, growing up as a kid, Figment was definitely my favorite character. I still have to share those pictures. There's pictures of me. My mom told me it was apparently back at the VP Fair, Mike.
Yes, we talked about that on the podcast the other day, Mike, in the Midwest, by the way.
So apparently she told me that like Disney came to the VP Fair or something along those lines, I think is what she said to me. And there was this show that they did and they had Figment up on stage with Dreamfinder. And I don't know, I have pictures from it. I'm going to have to refine them and rescan them and share them because it's the most bizarre thing. Like I looked at it and I'm like, what is this from? And so that's when she told me the story. But I, you know, so even as a young child like that, like I still have that connection to Figment. I met him as the puppet, you know, as a kid too, you know, and with my dad, there's that picture that I have. That's just so that's, you know, just so in my heart. I loved the attraction growing up as a kid. Like it was so Disney to me. So really, I mean, that was Disney. I mean, that's really where my connection came from. You know, that's really where I fell in love with Disney. I guess I should say that one is where I fell in love with Disney and the Haunted Mansion is the other one, or whichever question we're on.
They're both good.
Yeah, exactly. But like, that really was where I fell in love with Disney. It's just because like, that was my childhood. That's where I connected with everything. And even though I was afraid of the place growing up as a kid and didn't want to go, I always knew that I had Figment. So, yeah.
All right. So we're going to have to power through these last five so we can get them in here. So number seven.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
We have five more. What is the ride attraction show that changed your life? All right. Ricky, go ahead on that one.
All right. I think on this one, I don't know the rest of the questions, so hopefully I'm not shooting myself in the foot. I think on this one, I'm going to have to go with Country Bear Jamboree. Again, it's one of those stories that gets told as, you know, I was a child. And, you know, for those who don't know, at this point, I was terrified of Walt Disney World as a kid. Absolutely. There are stories of me begging my mom and dad to let me stay with my grandparents and not go to Walt Disney World because I didn't want to go. I was absolutely terrified. And one of the reasons why I was terrified was because of the Country Bear Jamboree. I was terrified of the bears and I thought they were going to actually eat me. Now you have to remember I was like 2 at that point. So, I mean, as a 2-year-old in your mind, that those bears seem very, very, very real to you. That's the one. Yeah. Country Bear Jamboree for sure. That's definitely it.
All right. Hashtag Scotty G. What do you got?
Oh man. that's a tough question to change my life. I'll go Illuminations because, you know, it's another great fireworks show. I listened to, I would listen to that soundtrack all the time. It'd get me through like tough days at work. If I was having a tough day, I just throw on that soundtrack. Things would just change. So I would say Illuminations.
For me, it was Soarin'. And I'll tell you why that it didn't change. I mean, it kind of, it gave me perspective is that way back in the day, This is a long time ago, but with the podcast, we held an event called the BOGP
yes!
Storms Norway.
Yes.
And so we had a private breakfast above the Maelstrom. There's a VIP lounge up there, and we had a big breakfast, and we had so many listeners come out, and it was expensive. It was like $50.
Disney
doesn't do anything cheap, and I felt like horrible. Like I was telling Pam, like, there's no way I'm gonna put these tickets on sale because like you can go to Chef Mickey's for $50. You can meet like the Fab Five. Like who cares about us three? Like I mean seriously, who's gonna come? And there's probably better food. People came. We had a great time. And then we got backdoored for the first ride of the day into Soarin' as a podcast group. And I just remember sitting on the end. And I have a couple pictures of this. Like, it was just our listeners on Soarin'
yes.
together.
Okay.
And that was like one time I was like, holy cow, we are so lucky. Like, I just remember. It didn't change my life, but it gave me perspective. Like, we are so so thankful. It was an awesome day. All right, number eight. What is the ride attraction show that surprised you? Something that surprised you.
I got one.
Go ahead.
So it actually happened at Disneyland, but it's the same exact ride, just a different name. At Walt Disney World, so I'm going with that. And that's Barnstormer. Because me and my boy Moose sat in one of those cars together.
No way.
And that
no
surprised
way.
The heck out of me.
No way. No way.
Got it.
We needed three clicks on the restraint. You're like, we can only get to two. So Moose and I both took a big deep inhale, and then we got that third click.
Oh, no.
You know that's how people die. That's how people die halfway up the lift hill.
Yeah.
Just saying.
No.
That was the best 20 seconds ever.
Oh, my God. Ricky, what about
you? It's true.
That's so funny.
This is tough. I think I'm going to go with Slinky Dog Dash. It surprised me because I was not expecting it to be as fun as it actually is. I mean, it really is a fun coaster. That's just plain and simple what it is. It's fun. There's the little bunny hills that it has. Use your soaring up and down over them. That's fun. I mean, I giggle on that attraction. So that's it. I'm going to go with Slinky Dog Dash. I think it's just, that's it.
That's a good one. I agree. Like yeah. The expectations... I mean, I had pretty good expectations, but I think a lot of people were down on it. Oh, it's going to be another like kiddie coaster, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot of fun. It's a really fun coaster.
It is not a kiddie coaster. I will tell you that right now. It is definitely that. I think that was part of my thoughts is, oh, it's just going to be like a kiddie coaster. And it's definitely not. Really and truly, it's definitely not a kiddie coaster.
Right. Yeah. We miss you, Pam. Yeah. So mine, Alfred nailed mine before I could get it out, but it is Rise of the Resistance. The reason why it surprised me is because I had tried and I was pretty successful. And I've done this with Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, I avoided spoilers. And that's hard to do in my line of work because obviously I'm dealing with Disney all day. But I mean, on a different, you know, more resort stuff and reservations. But I did, you know, anytime I saw anything that looked like it was a spoiler, as much as I wanted to watch it, I didn't. And so I went in relatively unspoiled. The only thing I knew was like the big room with the stormtroopers, which everybody, that was like the picture everybody had everywhere. But it wasn't even a ride. It was an experience. You know, it was so multi-level and so well done because the cast members had to do a good job. And I'm not spoiling anything here, but it was just, it exceeded my expectations and my expectations were high. You know, I didn't know that
I
was hoping it would just meet my expectations. I was so worried that I had them too high. I was like, oh, I'm expecting too much. And it exceeded them. So I was surprised that it did. And I'm glad that it did. And I can't wait to do it again. Oh my gosh.
So much fun.
And the whole thing is like, here's the deal in my house. It's terrible. Real quick. Like I talk about the Skyliner. I talk about Galaxy's Edge. Like my family still hasn't been back when any of those things have been open. So they don't have any perspective on riding a gondola or going to Galaxy's Edge or anything. Because they went last summer before all this stuff started happening. I went down in September. They haven't seen any of it.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's bad.
That's awesome that they're going to have something really new to experience, though, when you guys finally get back.
For real. So. All right. Number nine. I got a good one on this one. What ride attraction show is your guilty pleasure?
Oh,
mine,
dang it.
Mine is the Astro Orbiter. I love the Astro Orbiter. And Scott and I rode it one time during the fireworks. But I also like riding
with
Mallory.
Me and you. Like, I'll ride with anyone, apparently.
Yes. Yeah, this Astro Orbiter was something I'd never done because really it's a Dumbo ride, you know, it's a Magic Carpets, but it's up high. And I was like, it looks kind of, and it's way faster up there. And it's beautiful. I love that ride. And I just discovered it in the last like 5 years. Mallory wanted to ride it. And I'm like, well, I've never done it. Why not? Let's do it. You know, it was late at night. There was no wait. You know, now if you can survive the July elevator ride up that smokes you out, like if you're still conscious when you hit the platform up top, you're good to go. But yeah, I do love the Astro Orbiter. All right, Ricky, go ahead.
Okay, remind me. Wait, I had my most question again.
Guilty pleasure. I know, I got long-winded.
Oh my gosh. No, I just had it.
Okay, Scott. Go ahead, Scott.
Yes.
So I don't know if this really falls under guilty pleasure. I'm going to make it fall in there. The friendship boats at Epcot.
Yes.
Like, I kind of count that as an attraction almost, you know, because it's transportation to get you from one pavilion to another in World Showcase, and I just kind of find that as a guilty pleasure.
It is, yeah. All right, Ricky, okay. Did you come up with something?
Yeah, I agree. Okay, mine is Muppets. I mean, how can you not love Muppets? It's so campy and so cheesy and so fantastic. And I love the pre-show. I sit here and quote it word for word. And, you know, yes, I'm that annoying person. You know, Brian and I will actually sit and watch the pre-show here at the house and just, you know, laugh our butts off. I think that the whole actual show is really good too. I don't love Waldo. He's not my favorite character, but I put up with Waldo because I think everything else is super fantastic. So that's my guilty pleasure show. Yeah,
I agree. I don't like Waldo, but I do like the rest of it. Like,
I don't like Waldo. Isn't Waldo Mickey in the end? Like,
well, is he in the end? Isn't he? Well, no, because he gets sucked back in as Waldo. So yeah, I know.
Right? I'm more of a Statler and Waldorf guy.
I am definitely. Oh my gosh, they have some of the funniest lines, though. I mean, seriously, they have the best lines.
Move that show back to Pittsburgh. Anyway, number 10, and Tish, she says the Tiki Room, which is a good one.
That's a good one.
10, what ride attraction show should you have seen, attended, or watched by now but have not? It could no longer be there or have never gotten around to see it.
Oh.
So in a different, because I've seen everything there that's currently there. I've done almost everything, like even like extra attractions. But I mean, I've done the standard stuff, but I will say the one thing from the past that I really wish I could have done is obviously Horizons, because everybody reveres it. Like, I wish I could have done that to see what the hype was about. And I know it really wasn't hyped back in the day. It's kind of gotten it after the fact, but Horizons would be the one thing I wish I could have done if I could go back and do one thing at Walt Disney World. What about you, Scotty G?
So there is one thing I haven't done. I won't really go there to the reasons, but that's Hall of Presidents I haven't done. But going back to like how you're answering, Mike, World of Motion is...
That was the other one I had. It was World of Motion.
I would love... I've listened to that soundtrack all the time.
Same.
I just had every little like 10-second bit from that show like on my phone. Like, I just love it.
Yes.
And it seems so much better than Test Track to me. I mean, Test Track is fun like the first time you do it or second time you do it, but like I just find it kind of boring now. But I would just love to do World of Motion. Oh my gosh.
Can we just say like 1982 or like 1985 Future World? I mean, that would kind of cover it all. Yeah.
Can we just go back to that for sure?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Ricky, what do you got?
So it's hard because I really have been going since, you know, I was a kid. So as far as I know, I've done World of Motion and Horizons, even though I don't remember them. I've definitely done them. As far as I know, I've done almost every attraction for the most part, even the ones that I hate. So I've done Dinosaur and I've done Tower of Terror, which I can't really, you know, stand doing, even though I love the idea of it. So this is kind of hard for me because I have done almost everything, even the past things. The one like thing that kind of stuck out to me, there are things in Animal Kingdom that I really didn't do because I didn't go to Animal Kingdom probably for a good years, you know, before it opened or after it opened. So I'm going to pick something at Animal Kingdom. It's not like... oh my gosh, I really wish I'd seen that. But since I've seen almost everything else, I'm going to go with Tarzan Rocks, which the whole idea of it just sounds bizarre to me.
Dude, you're winning Alfred over big time. Alfred is the number one fan of Tarzan Rocks.
Seriously, like they skated in on everything. And like the whole idea of that show is just bonkers bizarre to me. that this was actually something that they did, and or the Jungle Book show that they did before
that was
the
horrible.
Tarzan rocks.
I didn't see that
the Rivers
that was
of Light
terrible.
Thing. That is one thing I didn't see.
The Jungle Book show, yeah.
There was a Jungle Book show
horrible.
Where Tarzan rocks was that I didn't see. And so like I think that would have been interesting to see as well. I could also throw in, I know I didn't see the Barbie show that happened at Epcot, which, you know, I know that a lot of people talk about. I never saw that, but I saw like even random things. Like I saw the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, you know, at Disney Hollywood Studios. So like I've seen tons of stuff. Oh, I don't remember seeing the Dick Tracy show either, so I don't know if I saw that or not, but
Yeah,
I kind of
should have said Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway because that's actually the one thing I haven't done.
That's true, me too. Same.
That should have been my answer.
Yeah,
it should have been mine too. Yeah.
I used to want to be in it because that was back when I skated and I was like, oh man, I could be on the skaters that jumps over the drummer and Tarzan rocks. Yeah. I could do that.
There you go.
All right, the last one. What ride attraction show is a must see if someone was only able to see, attend, or watch one attraction ride?
Oh, I'm so glad I didn't do this one yet.
Okay, fine. We'll
do
let
we
you
all
go
have
first.
The same one?
I think I have a good one, but go ahead, Ricky. I'll let you go.
No, go ahead, Mike.
This is shocking because
Pirates
this...
of the Caribbean.
Okay, go ahead. You got it. Okay.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
I mean, hands down. Yeah,
that's
it. I don't have to talk about it. Just mic drop. Pirates.
All right,
done.
Good, because we're running long. We got Pirates. What about you, Scotty G?
Well, Pirates was going to be my answer because I was thinking, like, I think Tower of Terror overall is like the best attraction when it comes to theming, pre-show, queue, thrill. But that's not for everyone, unfortunately. But hands down, I think that would be like the best thing to take someone to. And then I was thinking Pirates, but Ricky took Pirates. So then my next question, my next answer would be Dumbo. Dumbo is just like that classic. You know, you see it in all the advertisements. There's always a kid on Dumbo, parents smiling. And yeah, I think it was our first Magic Kingdom attraction we did. Our first attraction actually was the American Adventure that we did.
Oh my gosh, I love
that one.
Yeah, I know. It was like the most random thing to have you be, because we had dinner in Italy. That was our first thing. The first night we went in, we flew in kind of late, went swimming. We went to Epcot to have dinner in Italy and went to American Adventure beforehand. But Dumbo was like our real first like ride, and I think that's perfect for introducing someone to Disney.
Here's one that I never thought I would have said just a few years ago. Happily Ever After.
Ooh.
You got the castle. You have very familiar stories. And that music speaks to, again, why you were at the... It's like the Illuminations of the Magic Kingdom. Like, you're at Epcot to explore cultures and to see, you know, sciencey stuff and to explore, you know, science and social studies, what I always say. But when you're at the Magic Kingdom, you're there for fantasy. You're there for romance. You're there for the magic of it all. And that, God, that soundtrack is so good. And I didn't like it at first. Like... I was bitter. I was a bitter Betty over Wishes going away. And like, the more I see it, the more I hear it, the more I like it. And you're right. Pirates is better because you're getting to see like a physical attraction. You're going on a ride. You're seeing the history. Happily Ever After doesn't have the history, but I think it's something that could quickly grab somebody. Like if they had to see it, I think they would be like, this is pretty cool. Cause the castle is like not a castle all of a sudden, you know, it's
that's
pretty
true.
Neat.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yes. I think we did all right on this quiz. And Lauren, we appreciate her writing this in. So, yeah.
It's impressive the things we didn't have on there, though. We didn't have like a Tower of Terror as one of our answers. Yep. We didn't have a Spaceship Earth as an answer or a safari. Yeah. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I thought about the safaris for one of them, but I didn't go with it.
But if we did this again, like in 2 weeks, we'd probably have different answers on everything.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. So thanks a lot.
De France will always be on my list, though. So.
Yeah, totally, absolutely, 100%. Because I mean, if it's still on the list today, that thing's going to be on the list forever. I mean, that's not a new attraction. So pencils down, everybody. So what we're going to do, William asked in the chat if we could post these questions. So I'll put those over on the Facebook page. And you don't have to answer all 11, but just drop in this weekend. Let us know what you think. And, you know, where do we go wrong? Where do we go right? And what would you include? So drop by Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast for that. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Simple. When you're booking that next trip, whether you're going on a Disney cruise, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Adventures by Disney, just drop by themagicforless.com first. Check out all the great trip planning tools. And while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form. And if you mention the show, you and I are going to be planning together for that next trip, and I really appreciate that, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And if you want some more of the show, become a patron over at patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, don't forget, follow us on social media, Instagram and Twitter, at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod, and of course, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Huge shout out to Scotty G for joining us this week. We sure appreciate that. And for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.